I'd like to greet you.
Good morning in Jesus' name. Thank you, Art, for leading that song. I had a flashback, if you want to call that, in my early years. I went to a mission church, and behind the pulpit there was this plaque, and it said, "Jesus never fails." And I never realized the impact of that statement until I get older, because Jesus never fails, and he's still the same today. And we can find our refuge in Jesus, and we can find our strength in Jesus. And I was blessed by Vlad sharing. I'm humbled to realize that I think God is moving in our congregation in many ways. I'd like to have a prayer at this time. Let's close our eyes. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we again humbly bow before you with grateful hearts. We thank you, Father, for this privilege we have to be able to gather in this way without the fear of men. We pray especially, Father, for the brothers and sisters in Ukraine. We pray that you might continue to protect your children or find a way out for them so that they can be a salt and a light to you in their situation. We know, Father, that you have a purpose and a plan for everything, and we just pray that you might help us to walk in it. We also pray for Lee Hassel right now. We pray that you might touch his life, help him to see that the most important thing is to surrender himself to you. And help us all, Father, to see that, so that when we give ourselves up, that you can then fill our lives and people can see you and not us, and so that you can receive the honor and glory which you're worthy of. Now we pray, Father, for this time of sharing. We pray that you might bless me with your spirit. Help me, Lord, to be able to share what you want me to share. We pray that your Holy Spirit would move among us. We ask that your spirit would penetrate into each of our hearts so that we can be better fitted to serve you and bring glory to your name. And Father, we just think that if there's any evil in this room, any devils that are bad, that are here to destroy or disrupt or disturb, we pray that you might cast them out so that we can have a free course or a free relationship with you as your word is brought forth. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, as I was preparing for this, I felt God told me I need to read this. This is not my subject, okay? But there are some verses here that I felt led to read. It's found in Revelations chapter 2. I like to read just the first few verses here. Revelation 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I guess the verse that I was wanting to emphasize, or it stood out to me, is, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. The question I ask myself, and I want you to ask yourself, is, have I lost my first love? And I hope you understand a little better after I tell you what we're going to be talking about. Because I think most all of us who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, there was a thrill, there was an excitement, there was something about, you know, what God has done for you. And over time, it seems like the devil has a way of getting other things get in its place, and it stifles that excitement. And I think it can be deadly. And that's the concern that I have. The interesting thing is that, remember, it says here that except thou repent. And if you remember right, John the Baptist and Jesus Christ, when they went to preaching, they said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when I was made to think of that, there was a phrase that I sent to a brother in our church here. There was a little plaque. It said, people on earth hate to hear the word repent. Those in hell wish they could hear it just one more time. And we had a while back a message on repent, and acronym was R, was you return to God when you repent. E is you empty yourself or be humble. P is you purge yourself from sin. You get away from what you were doing wrong. You purge yourself. And E is you enlighten yourself with truth. You fill yourself up with truth. Because when you empty yourself, you have to fill yourself up. Otherwise, you're going to be going sour again. Then you nurture a relationship with Christ. And T is you take responsibility. Or be honest with yourself. Be accountable. Stand up. That's when you repent. And Jesus and John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So my emphasis this morning is going to be on that N, and that is nurture a relationship with Christ. If you would turn with me to Matthew 14. And forgive me, Gerald, but I think that's what you read this morning. Am I correct? When you read it, I was like, hey, you were Mark. Well, that's what I was wondering, because I'm going to be looking at Matthew. And we're going to begin reading here just a few verses. Matthew 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he set the multitude away. And when he had set the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. That's where I'm going to stop. But what I'm driving at, this one word, and he was alone. Jesus went alone. The title of what I'd like to talk about this morning is, alone with God. And I'm going to be preaching to myself because I don't feel that I have totally captured or come to a place where I am alone with God like I should be. And I'm hoping you understand that this affects all of us. Being alone with God is not a once and done deal. Like some people think, you know, you accept Jesus Christ and you know, you're saved now and everything's hunky-dory, and it doesn't work that way because we are in a battle. And it was like Vlad mentioned, there are dangers around us. We have enemies. And it's like this, the devil has been around a lot longer than you and I combined multiple times. And he knows the inner workings of how man works. You know, he knows their selfishness. He knows their weaknesses. He knows all about us. And we can't do this ourselves. And so we need to be connected with God in a way that we can become a victor. The word alone means to be a separate or apart or isolated from others. It also means it's an exclusive. Now, this might, in other words, when you're exclusive, it's kind of special. And in a sense, that's how we should see our walk with God. It should be special. It should be an exclusive relationship with God. And when we're alone with God, we have an exclusive connection. Thank you very much. I needed that. So, and God wants us to have that exclusive relationship. Now, the question I like to ask you, when you're connecting with God, when you're having this alone time with God, it probably means no phone, no paper, no book, no movie, no computer, no email, no texting. I mean, just totally exclusive with God. And I really think the devil has stepped up his ante in trying to get us away from God. And that's why we are living in such crazy times, because there's so many things that I think the word is distract us. Whether it's a baby crying, or a broken water pipe, or a leaky roof, or whatever it could be, those distractions take us away from the alone time with God. And I'll be very blunt. The phone takes up a lot of time. It really does. And I just wish we would maybe, I almost wish we could step out of ourselves and look at how God sees things. Because I don't think it's a pretty picture with what's happening in where we're at. So, how much time do I give God? How much time do I give God? I came across this in, we have different books beside our commodes, and we maximize our time. Sometimes we're there more than we should be. But anyway, this one hit me. That it really got me thinking about alone with God. Because we know that Jacob was alone with God, and he struggled with God, he fought with God, and that's when he became a prince, because he fought with God and said, you know, he said, bless me, you know, I want you to bless me. And so he did, his name was changed to Israel. Anyway, left alone. What different emotions these words bring to mind to each of us. To some, they mean loneliness and grief, but to others, they may mean rest and quiet. grandparent, you know. But to be left alone without God would be too horrible for words, while being left alone with him is a taste of heaven. And if his followers spent more time alone with him, we would have spiritual giants again. And I think that is possibly our weakness. We're not spending enough time with God so that we don't have that power, that connection that God wants to give us. All right, our master set an example for us. Remember how often he went alone with God? And there was a powerful purpose behind his command. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray. The greatest miracles of Elijah and Elisha took place when they were alone with God. Jacob was alone with God when he became a prince. Joshua was alone when the Lord came to him. Gideon and Jephthah were by themselves when commissioned to save Israel. Moses was by himself in the burning bush. Cornelius was praying by himself when the angel of God came to him in Acts. And no one was with Peter on the housetop when he was instructed to go to the Gentiles. John the Baptist was alone in the wilderness. And John the Beloved was alone on the Isle of Patmos when he was closest to God. Earnestly desiring to get alone with God. If we neglect to do so, we not only rob ourselves of a blessing, but rob others as well. Get that. Earnestly desiring to get alone with God. If we neglect to do so, we not only rob ourselves of a blessing, but rob others as well, since we will have no blessing to pass on to them. It may mean that we do less outward, visible work, but the work we do will have more depth and power. Another wonderful result will be the people will see no one except Jesus in our lives. The impact of being alone with God in prayer cannot be overemphasized. So being alone with God has many advantages. And it's not just for us. It's for others. So my plea is, we want to be alone with God. I would like to just look at a couple of practical things in regards to being spending time with God. Five practical thoughts before I go into my acronym. And that is, number one, prioritize. If you want to be alone with God, you have to prioritize. And I came across this interesting thought, and that is, if you have an important meeting with your boss or with a bank or with the president of whatever, you're going to make sure you're there. You're going to make sure that, you know, you got, like for instance, last night you had to prioritize to change your clock to get here on time. And if you really prioritize, you're going to be on church on time. There was a judge, late judge, I think his name was Scalise. How do you say his name? Scalise, I think it's Scalise. Scalia, wasn't it Scalia? Justice, but anyway, he was the justice that died in Texas. And he said to his clerk, when he had invited his clerk to church, and the clerk said, "I'm too busy." And then he said, "Well, I'll just tell the creator of the universe that you don't have time for him." And the thing that strikes me is, do we have time for God? In other words, the creator of the universe, of all things, I mean, he surpasses any president, any person in the world, and you don't have time to visit him, to hear what he has to say? And I thought that was a very good answer from a judge. But the sad thing is, he's not here anymore. But I think he had values. Secondly, when a practical thought on your time with God, you need to have a time and a place. With Jesus, it was usually early morning. But perhaps for you, it might be over children's nap time. Or, you know, you have to know, but you need to designate a time and a place for your time with God. And third thing, is you need a plan. You need to have a plan where you're either going to, you want to do some kind of, okay, a book study, a character study, a word study, just a devotional book or whatever. You need a plan to be able to go through this so you can empty yourself out and let God fill you up. You want a plan. And the fourth, you need to pray. You need to pour out your heart to God. That's part of this relationship thing. And the Lord's Prayer is a good prayer to copy, to just say. It covers a lot of avenues. It helps you see your need of God. It helps you see your need of a sovereign God to be a part of you. The last one, the fifth one, which I think is the one that we mess up with, and that is listening. Do you listen to God? Let me ask you this question. Do you do all the talking? When you're praying, do you do all the talking? Or do you give it time? I have learned it's been a blessing to talk to God and then just let it rest and just say, Lord, do you want to show me something? And I'll be very blunt with you. I believe in the power of prayer. This past week, I had something that was very, in my mind, was very valuable, and I lost it. I mean, I dropped it somewhere, and I prayed. Within 5 minutes, I found it. And I thank God for that. And that has happened multiple times with me. And maybe you might say I'm getting senile or old. I'm not sure. But I think it was God working. Because He does hear us. And we do have to listen. There was one, and I'm gonna get very personal here. We were trying to find something. This was the other week. And I was talking to my son-in-law. And I said, well, I don't know where this thing is. And I said, I'm going to pray about it, and then I'm going to sleep on it. I said, I have learned on various occasions when I ask God for something and I sleep on it, it comes to mind. And I woke up the next morning, and it was like, it's in the egg room. I was like, okay. So I went into the egg room, and I found it. Okay? So you need to listen is what I'm driving at, but you need to talk to God about it. And I mean, everybody's experience can be a little different, but I'm just sharing your mind. We need to hear from God. And how God speaks, He speaks through His Word. He speaks through the Spirit. And I know He speaks through other brothers and sisters who love and fear God. So, and they will all be one. So anyway, that's the practical side. Now, I would like to sing a song while I do my acronym. And it's in the Christian Hymnary. And Art, it's number 358. I'm sorry, hymnal. Sorry, that was my fault. Christian Hymnal, 358.
When storms of life around me beating, when rough the path that I have trod, within my closet door retreating, I love to be alone with God.
Number 358 in the Christian hymnal. Do so.
When storms of life around with God, the world forbid.
When storms of life around me beating. This is where we're going to find our refuge. Mm-hmm. This is where we're going to find our rest. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 10. I like to read in Hebrews 10:19-23. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. The first word I have is A is assurance. And when you have assurance, you have security. You have a promise. You find that when you take time to be alone with God, you will find that. You will find that the promises of God become more real. Now I'd like to go to 1 John. 1 John's. There's a few verses here I'd like to read. 1 John 4:18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torments, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. When you have this alone time with God, you're going to experience a love relationship that the world doesn't know anything about. And when you have that relationship, it's going to cast out that fear that perhaps might be overcoming or that Satan is trying to push into your path, whether it's a fear of running out of money or whether it's a fear of, you know, your health or whatever. God loves you and God will take care of us. We need to trust that. And having alone time with God, we'll experience that relationship. Now, 2 Corinthians 13. There's a few verses here. 2 Corinthians 13. I'm going to read the chapter here. 2 Corinthians 13. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you, as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all others, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through the weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with the holy kiss. All the saints salute you. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. That communion with the Holy Ghost is a relationship that you get when you're alone with God. And if you notice in verse 4, it says two times, by the power of God. So when we have alone time with God, we find the omnipotence of God. the power of God that can we can become a part of. It gives us that power to overcome our weaknesses. It gives us that power to overcome the devil. It gives us that power to be able to be a victor, an overcomer in Jesus Christ. But you need to have that alone time with God if you're going to be able to make it. I really think the devil wants to try and keep us out of his word. He wants to keep us out of this relationship, because he knows that if we have this relationship and it's so intact, he can't touch us. He cannot touch us. All right. 1 Peter 5, I'd like to read a few verses there. First Peter 5, beginning at verse 5. Okay, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. All of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. When we are alone with God, we have to realize our nothingness. And when we are humble, when we are realize that, that's why I go back to my phrase, God is everything. Because my son-in-law asked me, why do I like that phrase? I said, because God is everything to me. Without him, I have nothing. And the more I keep myself under, the more God is exalted and praised. It's not about me. And if my cry is that the devil would like to make us lose that concept that God is everything, and likes to make us think that, you know, we are special. Don't misunderstand me. We are special, but not to the point where it overrides God, because Jesus Christ is why we're here. It's why we have life. It's why we have hope and a promise for the future. So when we are in our daily routine of life, the question we need to ask ourselves, am I doing this because I want to be seen, or am I doing this because I want God to be glorified? I remember, and this is, and I'm not here to lift myself up, forgive me if it comes through that way, but I was getting stuff out of a store. It was a hardware store, and there was something wrong in the bill, and technically I owed them more money. And I went into the store and I said, hey, look, you didn't do this right. I owe you, what is it, $50 or whatever it was. And they looked at me and says, why are you doing this? I said, well, number one, I said, God knows this, and I know this, and I want to make sure that I'm clear, because I want to be a part of God's kingdom, and I just want to make sure that I'm honest. And they looked at me and they said, you didn't have to do this. I said, maybe somebody else does, but I know I need to do this, because it was my relationship with God that I was in jeopardy if I would have not have done that. So, but give God the glory. It's not about me. It's about God. All right. Let's turn to Hebrews. And it's actually just a few verses behind what we already read. Verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to be a comfort and encouragement. We need to exhort one another. We're here to help each other. And when we have that one time, alone time with God, it's easier for us to be able to help others out and be that encouragement. We find encouragement with that relationship as well. Knowing God will help us, you know, as we walk in His will, is an encouragement to me, knowing that God is there for me. So, God wants an exclusive relationship with you. And how you do it, you need to, like we said, you need to have a, you need to prioritize. You need a time and a place. You need a plan. You need to pray. And you need to listen. And if you want this to be a part of your life, you want assurance, you want to find assurance in your relationship with God, if you want to find this love that God wants to give you, and if you want to be able to find this power to be able to overcome the devil and be a victor, and if you want to be able to realize that God is everything, if you want to find this encouragement in your life, you need this alone time with God. Be alone with God. And I can't do it for you. Nobody else can do that for you. It's a choice that you have to make. And my thinking is, it's a little bit like Vlad was saying, we can find our refuge. We can find our strength. We can find our security. We can find our help in this relationship, which is alone time with God. It would be almost interesting to hear some testimonies of your alone time with God, because we're here to encourage and exhort one another. And is there anyone that would like to share your alone time with God? I know it's personal. I know it's exclusive. But I was being very open with you with some of my prayers. And I know God is awesome. I'll give it a little time. Anyone?
I find that when I get up in the morning, the best place to start is a little with God, because if I look at my phone or check my text or my email, I just do it, because my mind is already taken up with whatever's happening that day or whatever, and I need to start with God first. And that's what I try to do.
Very true. Very true. Thank you. Anyone else? Yep. And this is why I was saying that I need this message. Because I'm going to be very upfront with you. I cringe when someone says, I know you're a busy man. I kind of hate that, because from the standpoint, I want to be available. I want to be here. I want to, you know, I want to try and help people. But if they come through like that, you know, I know you're a busy man, and they usually tell me what they want. But yeah, I have made this statement already. People ask me, are you busy? I said, hey, a person who's not busy is lazy. I said this, we were up at Juniata, up at the school open house, and I was sitting beside a man. I was sharing with someone else, and he said, "I like that." He said, "I agree with that." He said, "You know," but I said, "Now here, you have to hear the second phase of that, and that is, I'm not always profitable." I said, "Because I'm always busy, but I'm not always profitable." And then he said, "Yeah, I can connect with that too." So we were on the same page. But the fact is, we need to be busy in the right thing, but not to deter from this alone time with God. We need to have this alone time with God. And I'm actually, I kind of lean with you, Gerald, from the standpoint that being able to walk just out in the woods and just get away, I think we do not meditate enough. I'm going to be very blunt. I don't feel like I meditate enough. And my cry is, or my encouragement or challenge to you is, you know, be alone with God. And have an exclusive time. My wife and I have been married 42 years. And I will say that I feel like sometimes we don't have enough alone time ourselves. And it kind of hurts. I mean, it's like the question you ask yourself, what are people going to remember you by? As being busy in the office, busy on the road, busy turning wrenches, busy fixing roofs, or what are they going to remember you by? Or are they going to remember you as someone who was always there, ready to listen, ready to help, ready to have this experience transferred to someone else? Remember, if you don't have your alone time, you're not just hurting yourself. You're hurting the next generation. You're hurting the next people. May God bless you. And thank you for your time.